We're today with Jason Parks, owner of TexasFarmerView.com, author on Baseball Prospectus, and just a great resource for any Ranger fan out there. Jason, let's get right to it. What do you think the Rangers front office's mindset is right now heading into the draft?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'd say that it's open because the Rangers don't know what's going to be available for them. So I think that they're just doing due diligence, making sure that they have all their scouting reports, making sure that they have all the scouts ready to go. They'll see what happens when the draft starts. I mean, I've spoken to a lot of teams in the top 10 who are picking in the top 10, and nobody really knows what's going to happen yet outside of the first few picks. And once those start, it's going to start a chain reaction. The Rangers pick at 33 and 37. They have no idea who's going to be available for them. So they can't really start setting their sights on individuals yet because they don't know which individuals are going to be available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of unpredictability there. For those who don't know, sort of more casual fans, the baseball draft isn't like the NFL draft. You don't do a lot of drafting for need. You may have your players that you really like, the players that you place a priority on, but it's not really so much a positional thing as much as it is what your scouts tell you to do.
It would be a really bad idea. It's a bad philosophy, in my opinion, to draft for need early on. I mean, you can draft for need later on in the draft when you're not really targeting high-ceiling talent as much as you're targeting organizational need. Now, after the 10th round or so, you start drafting for organizational need as far as roster filler and all that stuff goes. You have to field teams at all the levels. Early on, I think it's a really, really dangerous philosophy to get into the drafting for need. You need to, it doesn't always have to be best available because sometimes you get into the financial aspects, which is very important as well. But drafting for positional need can be very dangerous because in this draft, if let's say you pick in the top 10 picks, you need a first baseman. Well, there's not one that ranks that high. So you're reaching at that point, and then you're going, you're not getting the value for the position or for the draft position that you need.
Yeah. John Daniels has said in the past that the draft budget and the international spending budget function on two very different spectrums, but do you think the Leonis Martin signing, for one, in addition to all the other guys they've signed over the past years, between Jerks and Profar, Luis Sardinas, Jorge Alfaro, David Perez, all those guys, is that an indication the Rangers are going to be some of the top spenders in the draft?
I don't know if that's an indication that they're going to be top big spenders. I think that the fact that they have money would probably indicate that they're going to be bigger spenders. The Rangers have always been willing to open it up. The last few years they've been suffocated a little bit, but even then they went over slot for certain players. This is an organization that is aggressive when it's time to be aggressive. They're not aggressive just for the sake of being aggressive. If a player falls to them, and I'm not saying Bell, which has been talked about quite a bit because I'm not sure the value is there at the money he's asking for or would receive, but if a certain player is available and the Rangers, value that player and it's about money, well, I don't really think that the Rangers would hesitate to go over slot. They've done it in the past. Again, they're not going to go over slot just to show how much money they have.
Sure. Well, let's touch on that because, even though, as you said, the draft is very speculative. We don't know who's going to be there. Let's talk about some guys who have been connected with the Rangers in some mocks. And Josh Bell is one of those guys.
Okay.
For those who don't know, yeah, he's a local kid. Mom teaches at UT Arlington, I believe. Grew up a Ranger fan. Favorite player is Josh Hamilton, from what I've heard. But he has committed to UT, and apparently it's a hard commitment. Do you think, the multifaceted question here, do you think he can be talked out of the commitment? How much is it going to take? And would he be there for the Rangers pick 33 or 37?
When it comes to Bell, you have to look at these things as individuals and not just, players who commit. I mean, you're going to see a lot of high school kids that show a strong commitment in order to create leverage, in turn, to create a higher bonus demand and potential payoff. When it comes to Bell, looking at him, yes, he's committed to UT. He shows, a lot of signs of a player who really wants to go to college. That's all well and good. These kids can't be bought out. People didn't think that Zach Lee could be bought out of LSU. People refused to draft him. He was a top 10 talent in the draft. And he slid to the Dodgers, who everybody thought it was a throwaway pick because they, we're just going to take the pick next year. We're not going to be able to sign this kid. He said he's going to school. Well, they were able to sign the kid because they threw crazy amounts of money at him. Same could happen for Bell. I mean, college is going to be there for these kids. I'm sure he wants to go. Millions of dollars do a lot more talking. Okay, what I was saying is that at 26 is when the Red Sox go. Now, the Red Sox, they like Bell, and they could make a move on Bell. And if it happens, it could happen at 26. If it doesn't happen at 26, this kid is going to slide. You can see a scenario where maybe the Rays take a flyer on him, knowing they're not going to sign him, so that they can go ahead and get the pick next year. I think Bell's got a lot of reason to want to sign. I mean, unless he thinks he's going to become one of the top players in college and in 3 years come out even higher, it's going to be a gamble because there's a new, you know, we're probably going to see a hard slotting system come in. It's going to change things. I wouldn't fault him for going, but he's going to be offered a substantial amount of money. He's represented by somebody who's able to extract substantial amounts of money. I think that there's a good chance that Bell could get to the Rangers at 33. I think that it's very unlikely that the Rangers will tap Bell at 33 unless they actually think that they can sign him. They're not going to waste a pick here.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bell, he's a big power-hitting corner outfield type, but you hinted that he may not be worth the money he's asking for. Unlikely.
Well, yeah, I'm saying that because Lee has top-of-the-rotation potential. I mean, these are guys who can pick a pitch at the top of a rotation don't get, you know, don't come available in the free agent market. They're very, very expensive to trade to, so the best way to get a top-of-the-rotation pitcher is to grow one. Now, Lee could develop into that. He's hyper-athletic, you know, really, really great stuff. I mean, it was a great guy to get. A guy like Bell, yeah, he has, you know, you could argue that aside from Rendon, he has the highest offensive ceiling in the draft. That said, he doesn't play up the middle. This is a guy who's going to be shifted to a corner already, which puts the onus on his bat to develop. I think that from a perspective of value and how much money he's going to want, you know, developing and finding corner outfielders is a lot easier than finding true up-the-middle talent. So I think giving a guy like Bell $6 million or something it's steep. I mean, I can see the investment, but it's steep. And I don't think a team like the Rangers are going to pop a guy for $6 million at 33. I think whoever drafts Bell, it's going to be for two reasons. One, they already have a good idea that they're going to be able to sign him, a team like the Red Sox, a team like the Tigers. If anybody else drafts a kid like Bell, I think it's to kick the tire, see what happens. The kid really wants to go to school. Let him go to school. We'll take the pick next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's move on to a name that you dropped a few weeks ago, and that's Robert Stevenson, who's a pitcher from, I believe, California. Talk about him.
Okay, yeah, I like this kid a lot. He has good stuff. I mean, I don't know if he has – I actually like Joe Ross a little bit more. He's another high school kid from California. But Stevenson is a guy who could get there. I mean, I could see him going in the 20s. It just depends on when the run happens on hitters. This is a very pitching-heavy draft, and – when you have pitching-heavy drafts, there comes a point where teams start going, well, we got to get a hitter. Where are the hitters? You know, and it's kind of like in the NFL draft when all of a sudden the run on offensive linemen start.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, that guy wasn't a first-round pick, and all of a sudden he's picked in the first round because, oh, you got to get your offensive linemen. And I'm not saying that teams are going to be drafting for positional need. What I'm saying is that once the run starts, teams who had been looking at hitters may end up jumping up some of those hitters in their draft. Because it's so pitching heavy, if that run happens with guys like, you know, Cron or Springer or you know, Wong start moving up into top of the draft, it could push some of the high school arms like Ross, who I think is actually a good pick for the Dodgers because he's going to sign, and Stevenson down towards the mid 20s, early 30s in the draft. So I think that there's a good chance that a projectable high school arm will be available for the Rangers, and those are the type of guys they like to target anyway.
Yeah. And Joe Ross is the brother of the A's Tyson Ross, right?
Yeah, he is. And I've seen Ross pitch, and I think that he is much, much better. He's much cleaner than his brother. He has a much better chance to stay in a rotation. His mechanics are so much better. His brother's mechanics are just crazy bad. But he has the same kind of stuff. He has better mechanics, and I think that he's a guy, and he wants to sign. I mean, this is a guy who's going to sign. He's not going to sign for too much over slot. Makes a lot of sense for the Dodgers because of their financial problems, but if he slides, he'd be an excellent pick for the Rays as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that he gets to 33, but at this point, there's so much going on that you know, look at all the consternation over the Mike Olds selection last year. People were wringing their hands, crying tears. They were upset over this, you know, relatively unknown college third baseman, which, you know, you hear about these guys every year. The Rangers take a guy like this every year, and they, most of the time, they don't develop. And people wanted, you know, a name, a guy who shows up high in mock drafts. Well, baseball development is not about mock drafts, and throw that out the window when the draft starts. You know, you have to wait until they get into the system and see how they develop. The Rangers were right on Olt, and just because they don't take a flashy name at 33 or a name that might appear to be in, you know, the early stages of the round on mocks doesn't mean that they didn't get a good player.
Yeah. And we'll touch on Mike Olt later also, because as you're very high on this kid. I believe on your most recent ranking on your site, you had him as the number two prospect in the entire system.
Yeah.
So as you can see, that panned out fairly well.
Well, so far, I mean, yeah. I mean, it obviously wasn't a pick that had to be need. I mean, they took a player that they liked, and you see how they develop. I mean, it's a good problem to have, you know, when you stockpile talent at a position. You know, look what happened with the catching position that didn't work out for the Rangers. I mean, just a few years ago, people were saying, look at the depth the Rangers have at the catching position. They should stop focusing on that area and focus on other deficiencies. Well, aren't you glad that they didn't?
Yeah.
Because those guys didn't turn out. The point is, the developmental process has so many turns that you don't really know how it's going to work. So that's why, you know, going for need is a problem. You just stockpile talent. Talent has a way of you know, rising to the top. And if it's there and you have a, you know, value, you can trade for value. The Rangers can package Olt this summer for something very exciting or next year. You know, it's a great problem to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sort of reminds you of only a few years ago when the Rangers had this, you know, this stockpile of catchers and Teagarden, Salto, Lomaki, and Ramirez. And look how that turned out. We're now starting Jorvi Torrealba.
Yeah, but I know. Yeah, but aren't you glad that the Rangers didn't see those three guys and say, well, you know, we don't really need the depth because, look, we're already stockpiled at catcher. Let's move away from catching. Well, then you wouldn't have guys like Alfaro in the system. You know, and I'm not a Deglin fan, but, you know, acquiring up the middle talent is never a bad thing, in my opinion.
Sure. A lot of value there. Let's move on to another guy. And if you know a lot about this guy, you may be the only one. We're talking about Brandon Nimmo, who's a... His high school actually does not have a baseball team. So, you know, we've gotten a few scouting reports. Apparently he's a good hitter, but everything's kind of hazy. But Nimmo's actually been projected to the Rangers in a few places.
He's projected to that spot of the draft. I mean, the reason that he's projected to the Rangers is the Rangers have an affinity for this type of athlete. They like athletic, you know, guys with projection. You know, I don't know. I mean, there are teams that tend to go the more polished route, which I'm kind of against in the first round. But
Twins.
The Twins, I mean, they get a bad rap, but they do like players that are safer bets to develop. They don't have the ceiling, but they like guys with fastball command. You know, they like guys who can throw strikes, even if they have mid-range ceilings. It's just philosophy. I mean, you see a lot of teams that don't really draft high school players in the first round, guys that only will draft college pitchers in the first couple rounds. The Rangers, they like, you know, guys who can throw strikes, but they like guys who can bring heat. They like guys with projection, you know, and Brandon's one of those kids. He's got a good body, very, very athletic. He's going to have some power. I like the kid, and he's not going to be nearly as expensive as Bell. He's also not quite the hitter as Bell, so... We'll see. I mean, he's projected to go in this range of the draft. Showing a connection to the Rangers is just based on a couple of different functions here. The function of being a player who is going to be or could be available in that range, and he's also a player that fits the mold of a lot of players that the Rangers like. If he's there, yeah, it's a possibility that the Rangers take him. If he's not there, obviously not. There's also a chance that the Rangers don't take him. They may just be linked to him. There may be other players higher rated on their board. The thing is that these mocks don't really tell you any of that.
Mm-hmm. One guy Keith Law projected to the Rangers a little while back is Josh Osich. Tell us about him.
Sure. He's got a lot of talent. I've actually heard some rumors that teams are looking to snag him in the 20s just because of what he was able to do in front of a bunch of scouts. Is, you know, he threw a no-hitter. But yeah, I don't actually see the Rangers going that route, to be honest with you, but there's a couple ways of looking at it. Is he the best talent available? Maybe the best talent available at the time, you know, in the present. Does he have the highest projection? No, he doesn't. That's a fact. He's almost maxed out as far as projection goes. So I can see him being a 37 pick. I don't really see the Rangers having him at 33. It could be wrong. They usually like to target the highest ceiling players they can get. This is a guy who I think can move pretty quickly, so there's some advantages to that. Signability is also a question here. Again, there's a lot of factors going on, and we don't really know what's going to happen until pick 32 comes in. Once pick 32 comes in, you can start to say, okay, these are the players that are remaining on the board. These are players that have been linked to the Rangers, which, you know, doesn't really mean anything either. Let's see who the Rangers would target. If given a choice between a polished college arm that, you know, already has some injury issues but can move fast versus a high school arm that's going to cost a little more, has more projection, though, you know, that's a coin flip at that point, and that comes down to what the Rangers want to do with the pick. Obviously, there's not going to be any national prognosticator who's going to be able to properly identify what's going on in the Rangers' mind at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that does seem like a philosophy that they've taken in the past years. That was especially made clear in 07 when they took the trio of high school pitchers before landing on Tommy Hunter. Let's talk to another guy who, you know, based on all indications, is not likely to be a Ranger pick, and you probably know where this is going. But, you know, prominent local kid, newsworthy. Matt Perk, do you think he's going to be back in school next year, or is he actually going to get that big offer that he wants and sign with a team?
Well, I mean, he's not going to get a big offer unless, you know, I mean, he's probably going to do the summer route, you know, the Renato route, where if a team decides to pop him, then, you know, he's obviously going to hope that he goes into the summer and pitches, you know, maybe in the Cape, and shows more velocity, shows some bite on the slider that would make the dollar amount go up. Right now, you know, there's a lot of people who don't know what to think about Perk, and rightfully so. This is a very deep draft. I mean, it's not as crazy awesome as people originally thought, but it's still very, very deep, especially when it comes to pitching. It's very heavy with right-handed pitching. A guy like Perk, you know, coming into this year after his freshman year, he certainly looked like a legitimate top five selection. The arm has had question marks all season. Going to see names like Andrews and Yoakum, it scares people, as it should. You don't want to mess with a pitcher that has a shoulder issue. This is a guy who has crazy amounts of leverage, too. Now, one, he doesn't have to come out. He's a draft-eligible sophomore. It's in his benefit in a draft class next year, which is noticeably weaker than this class, to go back to school, to show that he's healthy, to come out in the top tier of the draft instead of playing this sign, play the summer game, which is going to happen. Now, he may be drafted in the first round. He may be drafted in the fifth round. Somebody is going to draft him and see what happens this summer. If he performs this summer, then he could get his money, but it's about performance. Until he shows that he's healthy, he's not healthy, and that's just period. Until he shows that he can throw 90 to 94 again with a biting slider and a really good changeup, he's not Matt Perk. The Matt Perk that the Rangers drafted is dead until he isn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So people need to get off this dream. They also need to get off the dream that there's some secret handshake agreement and the Rangers feel bad about not drafting or not being able to sign Perk in the first place. I mean, that's not going to happen. The Rangers are not going to offer Matt Perk $6 million because they promised him $6 million 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That is not going to happen.
I mean, they still offer the man $4 million. You don't feel any element of shame after offering a man $4 million when he declines it.
Well, I mean, you know, this is about Major League Baseball. The Rangers were going to give him this money. You know, they came up with a deal to pay him $6 million. Nolan Ryan was on board with this. The Rangers were on board with this. The Perk family was on board with this. And Major League Baseball stepped in and said no. You know, I'm sorry it didn't work out, and I'm sure Nolan feels bad it doesn't work out. I'm sure the development staff feels bad they couldn't get this arm when they could. You know, but it didn't work. Matt Perk is not the same pitcher anymore until he proves otherwise. You don't throw millions of dollars at this kid. I can see draft. You know, here's the thing. Rangers have a good relationship with the family. They definitely know what this kid can do. Down the line, yeah, if it would be worth taking a flyer on that perk to see how he pitches this summer. If you get a guy, you know, in the third, fourth round, who has first-round potential if healthy, there is nothing wrong with taking a flyer on that player, letting him pitch, see what happens, then, you know, offering the amount of money that, you know, by the end of the summer that you feel he is worth. If he wants to go back to school, later. You know, at least you didn't bring that into your system. The most expensive cost in baseball, the biggest overhead is insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, bringing a guy like Perk that you're going to have to pay on for years if he's injured is not a good investment. It's not.
Yeah. And, you know, sort of on a similar angle, though, he doesn't come with as much upside as John Stilson from A&M, who, you know, had that horrible injury and is probably going to drop to, what do you think, probably like third to fifth round?
Well, I mean, again, it depends on the medicals. Is this a guy who's going to fail, you know, an evaluation, a medical evaluation? Is he going to come in and fail it and flag and then, you know, like Laux, he's gonna become a free agent if somebody voids the contract because of the medicals. I think it's really unfortunate what happened. It's really unfortunate how his advisor handled what happened. You know, there are some people. Look, it's like Laux. You can look at a guy's injury, and some teams are scared off by it, and some teams have a form of different evaluation. Like maybe some cleanup surgery would help, or some rehab would help, as opposed to just getting cut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I say cut, I mean cut on. You know, cut it up.
Sure.
Completely lose the arm. It's obviously bad timing for the kid who, you know, was starting to sneak into some supplemental round discussions, maybe even the first round if completely healthy. I mean, he's the type of guy that you don't – it's not a high-ceiling pick. It's more of a relief arm. But, you know, we shall see. It's these local kids, if they slide, sometimes you do see teams pop them, but it's only because they're pretty familiar with them and not anything – about the local ties, which I think is completely overvalued.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, Jason, thank you so much for coming on with us. Really appreciate it. Guys, you can read Jason's work over on baseballperspectives.com. You can also read all about Rangers prospects, anything you could possibly want to know, on his personal site, texasfarmreview.com. And let me share a personal anecdote. One of the first things I did when I was became confident that I'd have a job after graduation was sign up for a year's worth of Texas Farm Review.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I'd actually picked up some of the top 20 rankings with Lone Star Dugout's Jason Cole, who's one of my best friends, and we did a combo list, and we put it on Texas Farm Review and his site, LoneStarDugout.com, and I've actually gotten a few subs because of that, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, really, really good stuff. You guys really should head by there and check it out. Jason, thank you so much for being on.